the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello, listeners. This is The Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Therefore, living the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. In continuation of this message we have been bringing to you from this passage of the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, dwelling on the issue of the first principles of the oracles of God. And we have spent time looking at the first issue, which is the doctrine of Christ, which is the revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That there's a need for us to have a revelation of the God that we worship. There must be a revelation, an understanding beyond intellectual understanding or religious understanding of the person of Christ. We spent time doing this. And so today we are going to take the next issue on the line of the seven issues here, and that will be repentance from dead works. First, I would like you to know that here, repentance from dead works is not speaking about repentance from sin, because this scripture is addressed to believers. Therefore, it's not about asking them to repent, to be born again, but it's about a believer has to know the difference between repentance from sin and repentance from dead works. And that when one has become a believer, a child of God, he must know those things that he may do that may be reckoned as dead works. And we're going to explain this, and as we trust the Lord to help us. And I also want to say, this issue of repentance from dead works is not only to do with what we are doing present or what we would do, so it has to address that which has been done. Before our born-again experience or before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things that we may have done that they are not necessarily sinful, but they are just dead works. Dead works in the sense that they are not things that are of God, and if we continue in them, then it's going to affect our walk with the Lord as believers. For instance, I would like to say it is normal that when somebody has become a child of God, born again, there's a need for him to look back to do what we call restitution. Restitution is that when, after I have been born again, there are certain things I look back at that I did that God may be requiring from me that I address them. For instance, when the man Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, when he came to know the Lord. Let me read this for us. What we are doing now is to explain dead works. We need to have understanding of what the scripture is talking about dead works, and then we will move on to greater understanding of this. So I want to read for us Luke chapter 19, and then we'll look at the story of Zacchaeus. Now, you will see this from Luke chapter 19 from verse 1. We are not going to read everything, but I just want you to see what Zacchaeus said in chapter 19 of Luke verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, what Zacchaeus was dealing with is what he did. It is one thing for Zacchaeus to say, Lord, I repent what I've done in the past. I will do them no more, and so on and so forth. That would be a part of his new attitude to the Lord, or turning to the Lord, or part of his step to conversion. But then, if Zacchaeus will continue to hold on to the things he had forcefully taken from people, that repentance will not be genuine. Therefore, it's required from Zacchaeus that having now surrendered to Christ, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into your house. So salvation has already come, because Jesus said that in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So we see here that by the coming of the Lord to his house, salvation had already come. And the Bible says his name shall be called Jesus, because he has saved his people from their sin. Jesus himself is salvation. We spoke a week or two past about his name, Yeshua, as salvation. So we see here, this man, salvation has already come, but to go further in that salvation, to be sure, for us, those of us looking at Zacchaeus, to know that he's truly saved, that he has truly met the Lord Jesus Christ, he needed to deal with the things he did in the past, so that they will not continue to his present and to his future. That's what I'm trying to say. So that repentance from dead has to do with what we did in the past and what we are doing presently and what may run into our future. If Zacchaeus had not addressed this, then yes, salvation has come into hell, but we cannot see fruits of that repentance. If he continued to hold on to the money he has stolen, forcefully taken from people, using his official position to steal from people and to take money from them by force, and he continues to enjoy that wealth, there's no evidence that an onlooker can lay hold on and say, he's born. Yeah, he may tell people I'm born again, but there's nothing to lay hold on to say, this man is born again, he's a child of God. So that's part of repentance from dead works. If he continues to hold on to that wealth, to that money, and the scripture says from that spirit that Zacchaeus indeed was rich. If he continues to hold on to that wealth and money without doing restitution, he continues in that which the scripture, he has not given up. The issue of repentance from dead work has not yet been entered into by him. Now, we're just trying to explain repentance from dead work. And therefore, we believe that one of the things that must be taught a believer after he's born again, that he must look back. He has to look back. And has to look at, there are things that I need to address to give weight to my testimony that I am now a child of God. I remember many years ago, in the 70s, when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a place I worked, and I needed to go back to address certain things I took there that was not given to me, that I just took. It amounts to stealing. I needed to go back to the man, the owner of the place, and say, sir, when I was working here, I took this, I didn't ask for your permission, I just took them. I feel that now that I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I needed to come back to show to you that this is what I did, and I'm willing to pay back. I'm willing to give back that which I've taken, that which I've stolen from you. And the man graciously forgave me, but I believe that my testimony touched him. So this is what we're saying. If I head on to those things and I'm still saying I'm a believer, I'm holding on to something that carries death. Now, I also want to explain what this dead work means in another way. Now, the scripture says to be dead work here doesn't mean to die physically. So I want to use another scripture to explain for us, and then you will see these scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and they want to see what the word of God has to say for us. 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 6, just a statement. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. In other words, so this death here, obviously this person is alive, is walking, is talking, but the scripture says, as far as God is concerned, a man who gives himself up to pleasure, sensuality, and who gives room for his base appetites and rule by his instincts, who lives in pleasure, who has no restraint, he may be a Christian. Okay, so it says why he does that. Of course, to everybody, this man is living. He claims he's living physically, that's one, possibly, and then he claims to people, at least in the Christian community, that he's also living spiritually. So the scripture is showing that such a person may lay claim to that, but as far as God is concerned, he's dead. Why? Because when somebody claims that he's a Christian and he lives for his own pleasure, he lives to satisfy his own desires, he is dead. That's what also the scripture is talking about, dead works. In other words, when you become a Christian, you need to be told, you need to be taught that you cannot live for yourself. You cannot live for your pleasures and your instincts, whatever they are, and just allow them to run free. And you say you're a Christian. So this is part of what a believer must be taught. You'll find as we go on that this is leading us to something very important. What it does say is that when you are born again, you need to be told that you cannot live your natural life. You now have to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the scripture says something. It says the flesh profited nothing. In other words, when you become a Christian and you live by your flesh, flesh here means again to be ruled by your natural instincts and your natural desire and your sensual desire, and to be ruled by your carnal nature. That's what it's saying here, that flesh profited nothing. To live by your human reasoning, human strength, human appetite, is that what scripture is calling flesh. To be ruled by your soul, to be ruled by your emotions, unsanctified emotion, to be ruled by your mind, and to be ruled by human thinking, what the scripture calls flesh. So you say, when a mind goes that way, it profited nothing. It brings death. So that's the death. And so when a person becomes a Christian, he needs to be told, now that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot live your life on the natural plane. You cannot continue to live the way you used to do. You now have to subject yourself to the pruning and the circumcision of the Holy Spirit so that you can live a spiritual life. Now, I want to also read a scripture. We're still considering this issue of repentance from dead works. We need to understand it. Now, there's another scripture that I'd like you to look at. It says, and that is in Romans chapter 8. Please bear in mind that all the scripture we have been reading are actually directed at Christians. So if you are talking to unbelievers, we'll be asking them to repent from their sins. But when we're talking to a Christian, we're talking about repentance from dead works. The one we have done in the past, that is still having effect in our present and on into our future. That's addressing this matter today. And then, please, I'm reading, like I said, I want to read from Romans chapter 8, and I want to read verse 6. It says here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we see here, if Paul was writing to Christians, and he's saying to them, if after you are born again, but you live carnally, you live to satisfy your human appetite, you live to give room for your body, your appetite, the cravings of your body and your soul to rule you and not be ruled by the Spirit, that's what it means to be carnal, to be carnally minded. It's death. So after you are born again and you continue to live this way, you are going to death. That's why a Christian must know that after being born again, he cannot live carnally. Because if he lives carnally, there will be no expression to this important principle of Christian living, repentance from dead works. The scripture says the flesh profited nothing. Whatever we do in the flesh brings death. Now, I also want to read for us in this same Romans chapter 8, verse 12. We say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Please remember, here is addressing brethren, not unbelievers, Christians. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, after we are born again. Verse 13, for if we live, we brethren, we Christians, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, do mortify, that's kill, the word mortify there means to kill, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we see the implication here is that if a Christian is taught and he knows the issue of repentance from dead works, the next step for him will be to see the need to walk in the Spirit. That's just the point. He will see the need to walk. Because if you don't live in the Spirit, you will live in the flesh. And so, but the scripture we've read is showing to us that after we are born again, if we live in the flesh, if we give room for our body, appetites and cravings and desires to rule us, he said, we shall die. Okay? So repentance from dead work means that we must surrender our fleshly desires and cravings for the Holy Spirit to begin to kill them. And that's why I say, if we through the Spirit mortify, the word mortify there, like I said, means to kill the deeds of the body, talking about the desires of the flesh and of the soul. Okay? So this is the way to explain to us, for our understanding, this issue that we have read in Hebrews chapter 6. Please, let's go back to that, our passage in Hebrews. I just want to reemphasize so that we'll be anchored to where we are coming from. In that Hebrews chapter 6, it says, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We need to go to that place. We can't enter into perfection in our walk with God if we do not deal with it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead work. So what we are doing today, we are laying foundation. It's important that we lay this foundation of repentance from dead works. You will find that as we go on, that they are linked. Because when you deal with repentance from dead work, the next thing you will deal with is faith toward God. We are going to trust the Lord to help us to deal with this. Now, I also want to bring another scripture for us. The scripture can begin to clear doubts in our mind and things that becloud our understanding of the scripture. Now, I just want to read to Revelation. I'm still explaining this issue of repentance from dead works. I want us to go to Revelation. There again, it's being expressed for us. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 1 says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things we said, he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. So the Lord is saying to these Christians, to these believers, that they have a name. They have a form. They have a front. They have a reputation that they are Christians. They have a history that they are Christians, but in him, but he said to them, but they are dead. So we see again, to be alive and yet dead. To be alive physically, religiously, but yet dead spiritually. So the church, obviously, activities were still going on in this church. They were doing so many things. And obviously, when you look them with the physical eyes, you will say, oh, this is a wonderful church. From the spiritual perspective, Jesus said it was a dead church. And then he gave them this one in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, by laying the foundation that we may go on to perfection. I will say to you, the reason why this church has come to this sorry state is revealed to us in verse 3. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and had, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not wash, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So what was wrong with this church is that they used to be in a spiritual state where they were hearing from God and where they were receiving from God. That's what that verse 3 is saying to us. But they have abandoned the place of that spiritual washing and waiting to hear and to receive. In the past, they were led by the Spirit. In the past, all their programs and activities were born of the Spirit. But now they have departed from that stage and they are now doing things through their own human strength and human wisdom and human understanding. To the world, this church was still alive, but as far as God was concerned, they were dead. So the point again is this: if a Christian does not understand the difference between repentance from sin and repentance from dead works, you can mix them together. So this church was alive, but they were doing dead works. Remember, we have said that anything that is not done by the Spirit, anything that is done by human reasoning, human power, human energy, it doesn't matter how good it may be, as far as God is concerned, it's dead. Now, I hope you get it from this church. How many people today, even though they claim to be Christians, but as far as God is concerned, they are dead? Because they have not dealt with this issue of repentance from dead work. How many congregations are dead as far as God is concerned? How many ministries are dead as far as God is concerned? Because what they are doing, they are just doing dead works. God is a living God. So we have to be alive in the Spirit. But then the scripture says this thing we are teaching today is even the elementary principle, the basic thing to be taught. So a believer needs to be taught to separate the two. Which is very, very, very important. Before we close, I just want to call your attention to two things again. And that's, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. And I want us to see what the scripture says there in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to reference it. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So we see now, the letter here means human knowledge. intellectual understanding, intellectual application of the word of God, bringing intellectual into spiritual thing and pretending to what we are doing is spiritual. The way God looks at it is that our intellectual ability and strength and wisdom must submit to the Spirit. But where the intellectual understanding of the scripture is on the throne and the spiritual understanding of the word of God is on the ground, then we can truly say it brings death. So here again, we are saying that a believer must be taught and must be shown the difference between that which is of the letter, that which is of the human understanding, human strength, and that which is of the spirit. Another thing that this says is only the spirit that gives life. In other words, if a believer does anything that is not born of the spirit, led by the spirit, dictated by the spirit, it's death. When you get born again, you need to be told this from the beginning of your Christian experience, that whatever you do henceforth that is not of the spirit and of the spirit is death. So this is the one important issue about teaching believer to know this issue of repentance from dead works. Finally, I want to read for us Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel 44, verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Very important here. So we see here what the scripture is saying is that what is the essence of teaching ministry, essence of priesthood, essence of ministering, is to teach God's people to have spiritual discernment so that God's people can know the difference between holy and the profane. The profane means that which pollutes, that which degrades. And then to cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In the eyes of God, anything unclean is death. In other words, when you become a Christian, one of the things you need to be taught is to be able to differentiate, to discern. The Bible says, he that is spiritual discerns all things. And we're going to talk about this issue of discernment as we go on, because you see the scripture says also in the book of Hebrews what discernment means. Discernment is to exercise our spiritual senses to discern that which is good or which is evil. So that's why a Christian must be taught how to walk in the spirit, how to see the difference between walking in the spirit and walking in his flesh, or walking in his carnality, or walking by the dictates of his body, the dictates of his soul, and the dictate of his natural mind. That's why Paul said to the church in Corinth, said, you are carnal. They were born again, but they were carnal. So the issue of repentance from death was dealing with the flesh. He's dealing with carnality in man. So that man will see the difference when he gets born again, that yes, I'm born again, but I still have to be able to differentiate, to separate that which is soulish, that which is carnal, from that which is spiritual. If I go on living my soulish life, living carnally, I have not really seen the issue of repentance from dead works, and so I'm still doing works that will bring death. And you remember we read that to be carnally minded is what? It's death. We read, you remember, that for a man to claim to be a Christian, to live in his pleasure, to give room for his human craving and live and be ruled by his human craving, that means to live in pleasure, is death. This is the issue of repentance from death. We are bringing this message to you, and we trust that the Lord is using this message to speak to your heart, to clear things for you, to give you understanding, so that your Christian life can be meaningful, so that there can be fruits in your Christian life. Enduring fruits, fruits that will endure to the kingdom of God. The essence why Jesus came is not for just us to be born again and remain born again. The born again experience is the beginning of the journey, and our life is like a building a house. The foundation must be laid. That's what Jesus said. So we trust that this thing we are bringing to you is causing you to check your foundation. It's causing you to cry to God. It's causing you to go back to your scriptures, to check, trusting that the Holy Spirit will illuminate your heart and bring you to a place of repentance where you need to repent, and bring you to a place of readjusting and mending your life. As you've heard me today, if you need to do restitution, if there are things you have stolen, things you have taken that is not yours, please, this is part of repentance from dead works. That will give credence to your testimony that you're a Christian. I just desire, if all Christians in Nigeria who have stolen money while they are in office, offices, on a position of authority and power, who now claim to be born again. If they will do this, there will be a revival in our land. People will know that our claim to be born again is not just by mouth, it's not just a Sunday affair, it is real. And it's going to touch life, it's going to change Nigeria, it's going to bring revival to the church. And we pray that this will be our experience in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing again this day. I ask the blessing of the Lord to be upon you. Thank you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness.